All right, I'm going to start the top of Samach Ayamun Aleph by the Mishnah. It says, Balov ze pitom hamedaber mishachyo. So this is a type of kishuf, type of sorcery, witchcraft, where the person brings up the mate to speak through their armpit, and or somewhere, you know, on their, among the joints of their arm, and has the mate speak to the individual who's requesting it. V'hidoni ze hamedaber befiv. So comes the mate, speaks out of the mouth of the individual, and it seems, as Rashi explains here, that we're going to see in the Gemara later on, there's some sort of bone that they place in their mouth that helps them perform this type of witchcraft or sorcery. Harelu b'skila, they are chayav skila, someone who performs either of these acts. I mean, the person who actually does the sorcery is chayav skila. Vanish albahem b'azhara. And someone who requests of these individuals to perform on their behalf, they're chayav, it's a lav, but not skila. So it's only those that perform the actual ritual or sorcery that are chayav skila. The one who asks them, Rashi and Tosas argue about which, Rashi says that we need two things. We need an azhara for balov and nidoni, and we also need a lav for the individual who's asking. So Rashi and Tosas argue about which is which. Right, Rashi says that the altifnu, elo vot velo dununim, that's the azhara, and the azhara of machshefot in general is mi loyim tzabacham avir bino bidol molech, so on and so forth. Tosos reverses them because yes, you say that it's altifnu, it says when there, b'parsha k'toshim, v'ash nefesh oshetifne, v'chayti ota. So if then you're going to have a kares associated with altifnu alilim, which is this lav. So why would you, over here, the Mishnah clearly states it's only a lav and not kares. So if it's a lav and not kares, why? So he flips Rashi's interpretation and says, no, that the azhara comes from, that l'nisham eloi mitzabacham avir binovi, you told him, olek, dechtiv, ikra, betrei, shoel, ovi, doni. That's at the end of that puzzle. And therefore, he doesn't run into the kares problem. That's just Tosas reverses him. All right. Mishna hacha, why does our Mishnah here mention both the bal ov and the yidoni? Dechtiv, bal ov, yidoni. Umishna gabi kritut. When it comes to the Mishnah and Kritut, where it's listing all the types of Kritut, Tuktani Balov, Vishari Lidoni, only mentions Balov and does not mention Yidoni. Now over there, the Mishnah and Kritut is really talking about all the Kritut of the Torah that you're Chayev in the Shkigigatan, Korban Chatat. So these are all the things that you would be Chayev a Korban Chatat for. So why over there does it only mention Balov and not Yidoni? Yet over here, when we're talking about the Skilo, it's mentioning both Balov and Yidoni. So it's the Machlokas Rechi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Hoyo Vishnehem Balav Echad Neemru. Should have a very basic problem, is that they share a common lav in the Torah. So when it comes to Lavin, as Rashi states it, and Tosus agrees here, is that Lavin Mechalkim Lachataot. If you want to have a separate Chatat for each individual person, item, or violation, it needs to have its own lav. That's the only way you can have a separate chatat. If you violate two things that come from one lav, you're only going to bring one chatat. Even though in the Torah there are two kritot that are mentioned. I mean that even though both of them have their own karet, their own onesh, that's not sufficient, right, to make it two chataot. It has to be the lav itself. The azara itself must be separate. Since there's only one lav, we can't separate the chataot. So true, there is. Each one of them will be individually chayav karet. And there, if you do each one individually, you don't have to do both to be chayav. Nevertheless, because the lav is only one lav that they share, a common lav, if you violate both of them b'shogeg, you only bring one chatat. So that's Rabbi Yochanan's answer. Yeah. There's a basic difference. Balov has a maseh. Yidoni, right, does not have a maseh. So that would be the difference between them. One that has a maseh, chatat, has a basic requirement you need to do v'asah. You have to do something in order to be chayav. So when it comes to the balov, where he does something, we'll see what it is that he does, right, that makes him chayav. By the idoni, where there is no action, right there, there's no chatat. But that's unique to chatat. Chatat requires the action. But for the skilo over here, and for the punishment or kares that is given out by the Torah, that punishment, the Torah says, if you do balov, you do idoni, it doesn't matter whether it's a maser or not, you're still chayav. For those actions, I mean, actions that are not necessarily actions, but you're chayav for violating those yisurim. Right, so now, Rabbi Yochanan, Mishnah Balov Denakat. So then, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that you're only chayav for one, why did it pick Balov? It could have easily just written Yidoni. Why did it write Balov? Why did he choose Balov over Yidoni? So his answer is easily, Denakat, Mishum the Potach Vekra. It's the first one. It's Balov v'yidoni. So if you're going to pick one, you pick the first one in the Pasuk. Reish Lakish my time although I'm like Rabbi Yochanan. So why does Reish Lakish not learn like Rabbi Yochanan? I'm Rapapa Chalukin Hein Bimita. Reish Lakish says, no, I can't learn like Rabbi Yochanan because they have separate mitot, like we discussed before. Rabbi Yochanan suggesting that what determines the chatat is the lav. Okay, so that's what we have, but over here, but Reish Lakish is answering back, what Rapapa is suggesting in Rabbi Reish Lakish's name is that that's not the determinant, right? The fact that there are two mitot that are determined over here that makes them separate entities or separate isurim. Because it says in the Pasuk by the Skila, it says, Kiye behen ov o yidoni mot yumtu. So be'evin yir gemulotam. Demeim bam. Lokti v'yidoni. Doesn't say there ov v'yidoni. It says o yidoni. And therefore, since they're separate when it comes to the mitot, they're also separate when it comes to the korban. So now, Rabbi Yochanan, who disagrees, says, Rabbi Yochanan, chaluka de lav, shema chaluka, demita, lav, shema chaluka. So obviously their point of difference is exactly this. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, the determinant of chataot is the lav itself, is the restriction, the azhara. So Reish Lakish believes that the mita is enough, that the death penalty, if there are separate death penalties, that's enough to bring two chataot. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no. The determining factor is whether there are two lavin in the Torah. Are there two times that it says don't do this in the Torah? Each one has to have its own separate one, and that's not the case here. Here they share a common lav, even though they have two mitot. They have separate manifestations of their punishment. Yochanan, my time alone, Mark Reish Lakish. Why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan hold like Reish Lakish? Amar lacha matnitan dekritut Rabbi Akiva hi. You're right, but that doesn't help because Rabbi Akiva is the author of the Mishnah in Kritut. Rabbi Akiva is the author of the Mishnah in Kritut who says you don't need a maaseh. So you might be right that there's a difference between Balov and Idoni, that a Balov has action, Idoni lacks action. Nevertheless, the author of the Mishnah in Kritut is Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva makes no difference whether there's a maaseh or not. He's Mechayev on all of these things. So if he's Mechayev on all of them, you made a nice distinction, but the distinction is not relevant to our question. But how do we know that? Because so that's the answer. Reish Lakish says you're right. Rabbi Akiva is the author of the Mishnah in Kritut, but when Rabbi Akiva says you don't need a maaseh, he doesn't mean you need no action whatsoever. He just says his standard or his threshold of what an action is is much lower. He says Rabbi Akiva doesn't require a big action, but he requires some action. And what is that? So megadef ma maaseh iko. The Megadef, which is included by Rabbi Akiva in that Mishnah, what maaseh is it that he's doing? So, ika kimat svatav, havi maaseh. Right, so that's the movement of his lips to generate the sound. That is the maaseh zuto that Rabbi Akiva requires in Kritut. Balov, my maaseh ika. Balov, what is the maaseh here? This, according to Rabbi Akiva, there's some maaseh zuto, the small maaseh that you have. It's a kashat zrotav, havi maaseh. That for some reason, this whatever the sorcery or witchcraft that was used for Balov was done by shaking one's arms up and down. So that action of shaking the arms up and down, that's enough of a maaseh, according to Rabbi Akiva, to be included. So again, the Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan now argue on a basic premise of Rabbi Akiva's position, which is that Rabbi Akiva believes that you do not need a maaseh. In order to be chayav, you don't need a maaseh. Rabbi Yochanan says, when Rabbi Akiva says, I don't need a maaseh, he means that literally. You don't need any action whatsoever to be chayav. So then he can say, Rabbi Reish Lakish's explanation in the Mishnah in Kritut is not valuable. You're right, you can distinguish between balov and yidoni. One has an action, one does not. But that's not relevant to Rabbi Akiva. On the other hand, Reish Lakish believes Rabbi Akiva's position when he says, you don't need a maaseh, means you don't need a big maaseh, but you need some action. You need some sort of form of activity. It doesn't have to be anything significant, but it has to be something. And therefore, Reish Lakish says, when it comes to migadef, you move your lips. When it comes to balov, you shake your arms. But you don't need, you do nothing. There is no action whatsoever. But you don't need, and therefore...
You put the bone in your mouth.
But that, you're right, but that's not the you don't need. Putting the bone in the mouth is the preparation stage, right? The actual you don't need is causing the mate to come up and speak. So, over that point in time, you're doing nothing that's of an active form. All right. So, Gemara says, Bilu l'Rabbanan. So, Gemara's question now is, according to Reish Lakish, who says that the Baal Ov has a maaseh of shaking his arms, is that a maaseh even for the Rabbanan? I mean, it might be that they argue by Megadef because it's a kimat svatav, that's too small an action. But maybe the Rabbanan agree that by shaking the arms of the Baal Ov, that's sufficient of an action, right, to be considered or classified as a maaseh. Vahatanya, don't we have a braisa? Eno chayav ela davar sheyesh bo maase. That you only, we had this braisa a little earlier, last week, we had it on Friday's daf, which was that you're not chayav on a maase, except, in that you're not chayav for avodah zara, except if you do a maase. What are the examples of that? Zivuach, kitur, nisuch, veshtachava. So zivuach, kitur, and nisuch are all active forms of worshipping avodah zara, right? You're bringing the korban, you're sprinkling the, you're putting on the incense, you know, you're sprinkling the blood or the waters, whatever it is, veshtachava, I'm bowing down. Says, who's the one who says in this Mishnah that, or this Breita that Ishtachava is okay? That's enough of an action to be chayav for it. Rabbi Akiva here. That's Rabbi Akiva. You don't need a Masa. That's Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yochanan says, wait a minute. Even the Rabbanan can agree in this Breita because bending over to bow down is an action. That's enough of an action to be classified as an action. So now, according to Reish Lakish, which is interesting, according to Reish Lakish, according to the Rabbanan need, Reish Lakish elevates, let's call this, Reish Lakish elevates both opinions. Reish Lakish says, when Rabbi Kiva says you don't require a full action, but you still require a small action, that means the threshold for Rabbi Akiva is higher than inaction, it has to be some form of action, but small. He also elevates the Rabbanan and says the Rabbanan need full-fledged action. Bowing down is not sufficient. You need like real, super-duper action, something like activity that will make you chayav, and bowing down is not enough. So by doing that, Reish Lakish sets the threshold for the Rabbanan higher as well. If that's the case, now we have the answer to our question. Our question before was, if it comes to the Baal Ov, who's shaking his arms, that's an action for Rabbi Kiva, but is that an action for the Rabbanan as well? And that the Gemara says, wait a minute, hashto the Reish Lakish kfifat komato the Rabbanan ovi maaseh. According to Reish Lakish, where bowing down for the Rabbanan is not a maaseh, akashet zrotav dvalov havi maaseh. Right, so that's, you know, is that a, how can you classify that as a maaseh? So when it says, ki kamar Reish Lakish, nami the Rabbi Akiva. You're right. When Reish Lakish says that balov is a maaseh, he's explaining that only according to Rabbi Akiva. Other Rabbanan, no. According to Rabbanan, no. So the Gemara wants to suggest at first that balov is a maaseh, it's enough of a maaseh for not only Rabbi Akiva, but even the Rabbanan according to Reish Lakish. And then we come down and say, no, Reish Lakish elevated the standard of the Rabbanan as well in Maaseh. And therefore, Balov does not qualify as a Maaseh according to Rabbanan, only according to Rabbi Akiva. So now the Gemara asks, Ihochi. Then if that's the case, the Mishnah in Kritut now becomes problematic. Because the Mishnah in Kritut says that the Rabbanan disagree by Megadef, but it doesn't say that they argue by Balov. So why doesn't the Mishnah say this? The Rabbanan should exclude Megadef and Balov. Why do they only exclude Balov? I mean, only Megadef there. Which we saw, they argue on Rabbi Kiva by Megadef. Why don't they argue by Balov? No, over there, the Balov is a different form of Balov. It's Mekater L'Sheid. When a person brings a korban, let's call it, or incense to a shade, he does, he's makriv it to this shade. So I'm really Rava, excuse me. Mekater L'Sheid is Oved Avodat Kochavim. That's full-fledged Avodah Zarah. I love the Izbuchu Oda Sirim. I mean, you can't bring Korbanot to a shade and call that Balov. That's full-fledged Avodah Zarah. So, no. Elama Rava, but Mekater L'Chover. It's a case where he is Mekater L'Chover. Now, Chover, which we're going to see in a second, is Chover Chover. Chover Chover is a right person who is able to gather the animals and right to make them, you know, like the snakes, and have them curl up and do things, but he does it all sorts of animals, so he has some sort of power, a way to cause the animals to walk. So now, in order to get the Gemara things here, the Shadim, to help him out with doing his process, he's Makriv Ketoret to bring the Shadim here. So that being Makriv Ketoret, or whatever the Korban that he brings in order to to conjure up the Shadim to come and do what he is bidding and help him with the animals, he brings his Korban. So the Korban itself is not done to the Shade, it's not done for the Shade, it's not a Avodah Zarah in that sense, it's done as part of the process to invite the Shadim to come to him. So it's like a precursor to having the Shadim come. So in that case, that's a problem of this type of Baal Ov. This Baal Ov, or this action that's being mentioned in the Mishnah, and there is this type of Haktoret, or this type of Haktarah. So I'm going to you. I'm Abaya Makater the Chaver Chover Choveru. Wait, Rava, you're trying to explain Balov. If you're Makater the Chover, that's already, that's Chover Chover. That's not Balov. Say in. So Rabbi says, you're right. V'Torah Amra, chover ze, b'skila. This type of chover chaver is b'skila. This chover is not chover chaver. This is the unique type of bal ov that's going to get skila. I mean, this is not called. These are different manifestations of chover. There's chover, which is bringing the shedim in. That gets skila, that's bal ov. And there's chover, which is gathering the animals together. That's a different category. That's not what I'm talking about. Torah Banan, so what is the Chover Chaver? So the Chover Chaver is a charmer. Basically what we would call, modern day is a charmer. Echad Chaver Gadol, Echad Chaver Katan. Whether he brings in big, large size animals, small size animals, I mean different charmers, right? Just like they're different veterinarians for large animals and for small animals. Here they have charmers for big animals, for small animals, doesn't matter which one. Valfilo Nechashim Urakravim, and even snakes and scorpions. That's a problem. These charmers, it's a problem. So Amar Abaye Hilkach Mandit Tzomid Zibura Vakara Akrava, one who causes a some sort of wasp or a bee to fight with a scorpion. Avakav to come and comment Lisku Asur, even though his intent is to stop them from injuring others, and he wants to get them busy with fighting each other so they don't bother people. Nevertheless, he's chayav in these cases. Assuming, and as Rashi qualifies over here, assuming that there is no pikuach nefesh here. Obviously, if there's pikuach nefesh, then there's nothing to talk about, because everything, you can do this in order to protect against pikuach nefesh, you can do this. So you have to assume that this is not any form of avodah zarah, because pikuach nefesh is not all made in the front of avodah zarah, because that's one of the three cardinal sins that you're not allowed to violate, even for pikuach nefesh. So this chover has to be outside the realm of avodah zarah, otherwise it would not be permitted, even for pikuach nefesh. Alright, so now, Rabbi Yochanan, Maishna, the kfifat chomotol rabbanan havi ma'ase, v'akimat sfatav lo havi ma'ase. So for Reish Lakish, we already know that he raised the threshold, but Rabbi Akiva requires at least a ma'ase zuta, and the chachamim, he requires like a full-fledged action, that bowing down is not sufficient, and balov is not sufficient, shaking your arms, it has to be something that's real activity. Now, according to Rabbi Yochanan said before that the rabbanan believed balov, that by ishtachava, bowing down is enough of a ma'ase. But what about a kimat fatav? How come a gadef, moving the lips, is not enough? So what's the difference between moving your lips and bowing down? Why aren't both of those classified in the same category according to the chachamim? So Amar Rava, or it says, shine migadef, ho v'yesh no belief. There's a difference between migadef and hishtachavaya. Hishtachavaya, you're bowing down. There's some sort of action. The migadef, even though you move your lips, moving your lips is not sufficient. Why? Because you require more than just simply moving your lips, which is what Rashi, if you look at the Rashi, it's second to last line in the Rashi over there. It says, Hol v'yeshon b'leiv, ikar chiyuv ha-balav talui b'leiv. The reason you're going to be chayav here for migadef is because of what's in your heart. Shemikav mitkaven l'vreich Hashem. Because you're intending to do Birkas Hashem. Shafil mevarech Hashem kol hayom, vein bi bo kalfei mala. You can be mevarech Hashem, using the name of Hashem, all day, and not intend it to be God. Why? She'alah et Hashem ledavar acher. He signed it his pet dog, the same name as God. He gave his pet dog the name of God, and then he's cursing that name all day. He's cursing his dog. He's not referring to Hashem. Even though he's using the name that's similar to Hashem, his intent is important here. In that case, you're not going to be chayav. So Rashi's point is that it's not simply enough to say the words. You also have to have intent over here in order to be chayav. He's saying that Rav is saying that the action in and of itself is meaningless. It's only the action with the lave that makes it meaningful. And therefore, you can't isolate the action and say that he did an activity. So over here, he mumbles words. He says things that the words themselves are not meaningful unless there's intent behind them. So you're going to ask by hishtachavaya the same thing. That's what Tosfos says. Hishtachavaya, you bend down, doesn't mean that you're bowing down. If you bow down, you need to say either eliata. You have to have some sort of intent that you're worshiping the item in order to bow down. So Tosfos gives two answers. One answer is that by Birkat Hashem, which he brings Psukim, that there's a specific need by the Psukim to have intent. It's specifically mentioned there that intent is important, and therefore intent will be, is the focus of the action here. Even though true, both of them have an action intent, but by Megadef, the intent is the central or the focus. The other answer he gives, which is relates back to what we saw before, which is Tosfos believes that by Stam Avodah Kochavim Avayira, someone who worships Avodah Kochavim from Avayira, Chayav. So then it works way, because then it has nothing to do with Tuluya Belev, because there you're worshipping the Avayira, which is not real Avodah Zarah, and yet you're still Chayav. So there, over there, you see that it's not, you don't need the lev in the end. The lev is not what is the determining factor. Now, Meitiv Rabbi Zeira, Yatsu Eidim Zomamim, Shein Bahem Maaseh. We have a problem. We have a limud in Torat Kohanim. In Torat Kohanim, it says by Karbanot Chataot, it says that Eidim Zomamim don't bring a Karban Chatat Bishogeg. Why don't they bring a Karban Chatat Bishogeg? Because Yatsu Eidim Shein Bahem Maaseh. Because they have no action. They have no action there. What do you mean they have no action? What? They do have an action. They have a kimat svatav. They're talking. They're speaking. You say speaking doesn't work because what? You need intent. Over here, by Edim Zomamim, there's no avadlit and ubalev. Over by Edim Zomamim, speaking is enough. You don't need any of this, you know, in your heart. They think it's God and I'm really cursing God. That's not the necessary by Edim Zomamim. As soon as you speak, you've testified. If you testify, then you're chayav. There's none of this extra, the action itself should be sufficient over there. So according to this, why is an Edim Zomamim classified as a maaseh according to Rabbi Yochanan?
How can you be unintentionally?
Oh, very good. So Tosus asked you a question. He says, how do you ever have Edim Zomamim bishogeg? And what's the case of Edim Zomamim bishogeg? He says, first of all, he says that Edim Zomamim bishogeg get killed because there's no hatra'ah. There's no need for hatra'ah by Edim Zomamim. You go and testify, you're dead. If you lie, you that's it. They have a gemar din. They cause someone else to die. You were intended for them to die, and you have a gemar din. So Tosfos gives two answers. One is the mishkachalah shehus mukodim gemar din. It's a case where the hazama happened before the gemar din. So since the hazama happened before the gemar din, therefore they won't be classified as edim zomamim, and they would have required hatra'ah in that case in order to possibly be chayav, or because of that they could be shogekim. The other one is inami kagon shechazru behen matzman. They backed out of it. Now, what you're going to have to say is that they're omer mutar. They thought it was okay to come and lie, but I don't know. It's a very strange scenario where they're making a mistake. You know, we thought we could.
This guy is such a bad guy.
Right. You could answer that they did something like hearsay, that they didn't actually witness it, but they heard it from someone else, and then they came and testified on that behalf, even though Bezin specifically asked them those questions. So I don't know how they get around that, but the fact is that they could have testified in a way that they thought they had testimony and they didn't really have it. You have to come up with some scenario like that. So now, Amar Rava, Shiny Edim Zomim, Hov Yeshno Bekol. Now, Edim Zomim are different because Yeshno Bekol. The Iker Chiyuv is generated by their speaking and the hearing of the Beis Din. It's not really, it's the acceptance of their testimony that does it. It's not the actual speech, but the acceptance of the testimony of the Beis Din that does it. So it's really the intangible voice that's creating everything over here. But call the Rabbi Yochanan, Lav Maasehu, and the voice, the Gemara questions this. Are you certain that voice or speaking is not a maaseh for Rabbi Yochanan? Va'itmar. We have a statement by Rabbi Yochanan. Chasman bekol, v'nhiga bekol. Here we're talking about kil'ayim. Right? If he somehow uses his voice to drive the animals. You have two animals that are put together. They want to stop them from eating in the, an animal's entitled to eat when it's working. So by screaming at it, you stop it from eating. Or by kil'ayim, you want to drive two animals together. I'm using your voice to drive the animals together. How do I know you're chayav in that case? For simply using your voice to violate these isurim. So Rabbi Yochanan says, chayav, Reish Lakish Amar Patur. It's Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan says, by using your voice to cause the animal to do something, you violate the isur. Reish Lakish says, you're patur. But what do you see from this? That according to Rabbi Yochanan, kol is enough. Speech is not considered to be intangible. It has value, or it has tangibility when it comes to isurim.
In Jewish representation,
in which case? All right, he's saying that it's not, a kimat svatayim is not valuable here because the major part of what is being held over here, according to Rava, is that the acceptance of their testimony by Beis Din is what makes them chayav. If they spoke outside of Beis Din, it wouldn't be meaningful. So it's the context in which they speak that's really what's causing the chiyuv. So it's not their speech, but the acceptance of what they say that is creating the chiyuv. That's how he's explaining the difference between them. That's Rava's distinctions. That's the Gemara now rejects Rava's solution to this problem because Rava's solution says that this kol is intangible. We found another place that kol is tangible for Rabbi Yochanan, which is that if you simply cause the animal to stop doing an action or to do an action, then you are chayav. So what's the solution? We give another solution. Alam Rava, Rabbi Benz, his answer says, Shani Edim Zomim Hov Yeshnan Biri'iyah. That Edim Zomim, the major issue or the major thing that the Edim Zomim do is that they see. And the Edut is just telling us what you saw. The action that the Edim did was that they witnessed the event, or witnessed something. Their witnessing is what makes them witnesses. Their speaking is just telling us what they saw. So the action or the violation is that comes about, meaning yes, the speech is what in the end brings them to a chiyuv, but that speech is just explaining to us what they saw.
Is that they said that they saw it and they really didn't see it.
Right, okay. Obviously, over here, they're speaking about something they didn't see, but they're...
provision of a rehiyah, which equals Avis.
Right.
They're providing Avis, which is Masira, the rehiyah to basically.
Exactly. I mean, that's the voice is just the conveyance of what they saw, which is the Edut is premised on their sight and what they saw, or what they supposedly saw. I mean, not over here, it's not, obviously they didn't see it, but it's what they supposedly saw. So it's not their speech that's mad, their speech is just...
Had they actually seen it, it wouldn't be a problem.
Right, but their testimony is about that. I mean, they're trying to simulate Edim over here. So the simulation of Edim is that they claim that they saw something, they're making themselves into witnesses. Their voice is just conveying what they supposedly saw. That's what you have to say, that's what they are. They're trying to simulate being an aid. So now, the Tosfos has, just to know that Tosfos has a different gear here in our Gemara, because then you run into a problem, which is that, based on this, the Gemara seems to indicate that Yatsuei Dim Zomim Shein Bahen Maaseh. But Eim Zomim are not the only item that is excluded from that Raita in Torah Kohanim. There are a list of other items that are also excluded that don't have a Maaseh. And the only thing that the Gemara addressed over here was Eidim Zomimim. Why are Eidim Zomimim excluded even though they have a quote-unquote Akimat Svatav? But what about the rest of the items in the list? The rest of the items in the list, according to this, should be Maaseh. And why are they excluded? So Tosfos, in the end, has a different gear. So he says, Yesh Sfarim Yishanim, right, that Lo Garsinan Eidim Zomimim. They don't have a quote of Eidim Zomimim over here. Ela Amar Rava, Shani Megadef. Ho V'yesh No Bekol. That the explanation here is for Megadef and not for the other items in the Mishnah. So which is, then it helps, because now the Gemara says, what Rav is explaining is, why is Megadef, even though when you have Akimat Sfatav, why is that not a Maaseh? So it's a very interesting distinction. He says you have two different types of voices. You have a voice that causes an action to happen, and you have a voice which is in it itself is the problem. So when you have, for instance, a case of Megadef. Megadef, the problem is that your speech itself is everything. There is no action through the speech. And that's the answer of Rava. Rava's answer is Kol did everything. If Kol did everything, is that, and the proof, or really what we see from that is the Braisa by Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. When they argue about Mechosein and Manhig, Rabbi Yochanan says when you scream at the animal and it causes the animal to do something, that is a maaseh. But a kol that doesn't cause a maaseh, that's not a problem. So the Gemara says, okay, what about Eidim Zomimim? Eidim Zomimim is a kol, right, that causes a maaseh. So how come Eidim Zomimim are excluded from the Braisa? Why is that not called a maaseh? Their words cause Beis Din to take an action on their based on what they say. So there, the answer is that Hilkach Shinuyah the kol kai velo hajra bei elam Eidim Zomimim. The only thing, he reversed it. The answer of Kol remains. The answer of Rav remains in the conclusion, which is Kol is only a problem when it leads to a Maaseh. Kol leads to a Maaseh, that is problematic. Eidim Zomimim is a Kol that leads to a Maaseh and it's still excluded. There, Rav changes his answer for Eidim Zomimim and says Eidim Zomimim is not based on Kol. Eidim Zomimim is based on Re'iyah. The Kol is just a conveyance of what they saw. So the way Tosus' Girsa comes up, or the way Tosus explains the Gemara, the reversal of Rav's position is not a complete reversal of his position. It's very is that you have a question about Megadef, and the Gemara's answer by Megadef is not an action. So now, if it's not an action, then why by Edim's, but if Megadef is not an action for the, right, Shani Megadef, Hoviyeshno Belev, right, if Megadef's not an action because it's not in the lave, Akimat Svatav's not enough, then what about Edim Zomimim? So Rav answers up, cool. Kol, we're talking about voices. Now, when he answers about kol, what does he mean, kol? Kol is kol that leads to a maaseh. So when a kol leads to a maaseh, then you are chayav. When a kol doesn't lead to a maaseh, you're not going to be chayav. So that's the difference. By the case of Megadef, that's a kol that has shiny kol by Megadef because it doesn't lead to a maaseh. So then the Gemara says, wait a minute, if kol leads to maaseh as a problem, then Edim Zomim are a problem because Edim Zomim are kol that lead to a Maaseh. So the Gemara then answers up according to Tosafot, right? Kol that leads to a Maaseh, Edom Zomim are different because it's Re'iyah, not kol, that causes the Chiyuv over here. But otherwise, it's true that if you have a kol that leads to a Maaseh, you're going to be Chayav. That's Tosfos' explanation. On the other hand, Rashi says, no. What's the issue over here? Rashi says is, kol doesn't work over here because we see from the Yochanan, kol is always a problem. Voice speaking is a kimat svatav is a problem for everything. The Gemara's answer is, Edom Zomim, it's Re'iyah, not kol. But what Rashi doesn't address is all the other cases of kol. All the other cases of kol that are considered a maaseh, how come they are classified as a maaseh or not classified as a maaseh? There he doesn't address it at all. So that's why Tosfos' issue, and he tries to adjust the old girsa in order to make it work. The only problem Tosfos is that the Gemara in Krisis doesn't sound like this. That's his only, he says that it doesn't sound like I'm explaining. It sounds good for the other two places that this sugi is, but the third place in Kritut, it does not work well. Right now, Tan Rabbanan. Balov, ze amidaber ben aprokim. Balov is someone who speaks between the joints. Umevin, umiben atzilei yadav, or between the joints of his arms, under his, whether it's his armpit or his elbow, wherever it is that comes out. It might be that we're talking about ben aprokim is his knees, and then atzilei yadav is in his elbow, wherever the joint is. Yidoni, ze amiach etzim yadua befiv. So we said before in the mission, he put some sort of bone that's well known in his mouth, umidaber me'elav, and then it speaks by itself. I mean, it happens me'ela. Me'tevei. It says, "Vayake ov me'eretz kolech." So Yishayah says about the city. He says that it's going to be like a voice that's coming up like the ov from the ground. So ma'alav mishtayik orche. It sounds like it's talking normally. The voice is coming up from the ground, speaking normally. It's not coming from any joints. No, so when it says, "Lo, the solik v'yatev ben aprokim." No, the voice doesn't come from the. It goes up. The person, the voice, sits in the joints. Umishkay, and then it talks from the joints or speaks from the joints. So Tashma, Vatomer Yishayah lo Shaul, Elohim ra'iti olim min ha'aretz. So Shaul goes to this woman who's a Balat Ov in order to ask Shmuel about what he should do about the battle with the Plishtim. And the Isha, he says to the woman, what did you see? She says, to Shaul, Elohim ra'iti, I saw, a very important person. I mean, I saw Shmuel arising, olim min ha'aretz. So ma'alav de mishkai korachay. It sounds like Shmuel's talking normally with her. So lo, the yoti ben aprakim, that he sat in her joints, umishtai, and is speaking from her joints. Balov is whether it comes out. Now Balov speaking through, according to Rashi, his member. Or he asks a skull that's sitting in front of him. So that's the way Rashi learns it. Tosfos on the other hand says Maleb Zichuro is that's the name of the Mechashefa. So it says Zichuro is not his member, but rather the Targum of Ov and Yidoni is Bidin v'Zichrin. So Zichrin is a type of Balov. It's one of the manifestations or one of the ways to have Balov. So now, Ma Ben Zelazet, what's the difference between whether you do it, your Male Zichuro, according to Tos, which is a type of Balov, or according to Rashi, you have it come up the voice through the member, what's the difference between Male Zichuro Eino Ole Kedarko? It doesn't come up the normal way, meaning the mate comes up upside down. Ve'en ole b'shabbat, and it doesn't come up on Shabbos. Nishal b'gulgolet, when it comes to gulgolet, ole k'darko comes up normally, means up right side up. Ve'ole b'shabbat, and it comes up on Shabbat. Where it says, ole, lahechi solik. When you're doing with a skull, what does it mean ole? How could it mean ole goes up onto your joints? The speech comes out of the skull that's on the floor. So what is ole over here? So when it says, hame kame manach, it's sitting in front of him, this skull. The word ole is misused over here. It's not wrong. You have to amend the braisa to read that it's one kedarko. So if you use the balov of either coming through the member according to Rashi or according to Tosos, that type of balov, then his one, right, shalo kedarko, meaning that he's upside down, he comes up upside down, and lo one b'shabbos, he doesn't answer on Shabbos. I mean, you can't ask them on Shabbos. Whereas if you do it through the gulgulet, through the skull, then the one kedarko, he answers right side up, and his one b'shabbos will answer even on Shabbos. So now, v'af shel azu, sha'al tunus rufus at Rabbi Akiva, this question, sha'al tunus asks Rabbi Akiva, lo, my yomi yomayim. How do you know that Shabbos is special than any other day of the week? Now, the Sefer Ben Yoyadai, you should know, says, my yom mi yomayim. Why is today different than the other 2 days? What are the other 2 days? The other 2 days are Friday and Sunday. Right? The other two holy days for the other religions, even though Tunus Rufus and Rabbi Kiva predate Islam. So it would be it claims that there were pagan predecessors that had a holy day on Friday and Sunday. So therefore it says, Ma yomi yomayim, why did you pick Shabbos versus the other two holy days, which are Friday and Sunday? That's the Sefer Ben Yehoyada. So Amar lo, Uma gever migovrin, what makes you special, Tunis Rufus? Why are you different than any other man that you're the leader over here? So Amar lo, Demari Tzavi, my master likes me. He picked me to be the leader. So Shabbos Nami, Demari Tzavi, God also picked Shabbos, you know, to be the special day. So I'm like, no. Achi kamin alcha. That's not what I'm asking. I'm not asking you why is Shabbos versus the other days. Mi yemer da'id no shabto. I want to know, how do you know today is Shabbos? Right, that's in the Kuzari, by the way. That's one of the proofs in the Kuzari that we all descend from a single individual, or we all have a similar mesora. Because how come everybody in the world agrees that there are 7 days in a week and the seventh day is Shabbos? Whoever came to that agreement, that's not a logical thing. It's not something that follows the constellations like months or the year, which you can see based on the rotation of the earth or the revolutions. You know how long a certain period is. 7 days have no relevance. They're not significant. The fact that everybody keeps 7 days as a week and everybody agrees that Shabbos is a day of the week, that already indicates that there's some sort of Masorah, that the whole world agrees to the same thing. That's what the Kuzari says. But now he says, how do you know today is Shabbos? So Amalei, I'll give you three things. Amalei, Nahar Sabyation Yochiach, Balov Yochiach, and Kibrosh Aviv Yochiach. There are three things. One is Nahar Sabbation, that has different names in the Gemara, is a river that flows, and during the weekdays it flows at a much heavier pace, or a much stronger flow. During Shabbos it rests, it goes down. So that's an indication that Shabbos is a special day. Or an indicator that at least that Hashem created the world, and that Shabbos, meaning that when Hashem created the world, He put Shabbos, He made Shabbos a different day. Now, Baal Ov Yochiach. Baal Ov Yochiach is that we just said before, that Baal Ov doesn't come up on Shabbos. So how do we know today is Shabbos? Because the sorcery of Baal Ov doesn't work on this day of the week. Works 6 days. Only one of the two types doesn't work, but the fact that one of them doesn't work on Shabbos is an indication that today is a different day. So that's how we know that, number one, that it's relevant even today. Not only did Hashem say that it was relevant in the past, because Hashem created the world that way, but it's also relevant to us. It affects us. Baal Ov doesn't work on Shabbos. Kivrosh Aviv Yochiach, the grave of your father, also, She'em Alei Hashem B'Shabbos. There's smoke coming out of your father's grave on every day of the week, except for Shabbos. Why? Because he's in Gehenim, and they give him a break. One day a week off in Gehenim is on Shabbos. Smoke doesn't come up out of the kever on Shabbos. I don't know who his father was. But he says that doesn't come up on Shabbos. So that we say that even Latid Lavo, Shabbos is relevant. I mean, even in the spiritual world, Shabbos is is relevant. So Tzimtzum Rebbe says, you know, this is you totally got me in this case. I don't know if each one of them, I would have suggested, I didn't see this, that each one of them is an answer to Bizito is to, you know, Nara Sabyation, Baishto is to Balov, and Kilalto is to his father. And that he's responding. Each one of them is a response to each of the answers that you won in each of these cases, that you were Mivazer. You know, Bizito Baishto, and each one of them is referencing, and that's why Kilalato goes on his father, because it's like a curse that his father's grave is still burning, that he's in Gehenna. But either way, Rashi doesn't explain that way. Rashi just says that it's like a full-fledged, you're going to beat me. It's like a total cutoff, right? Knockout punch. Right? Shoal Ov, Hainu, Doresh Alamitim. How is Shoal Ov different from Doresh Alamitim? The pasuk gives us two different things. Shoal Ov sounds like you talk to the Meitim. Doresh Alamitim. Rashi says, no, Doresh Lameitim is like this, Kedetanya. Rashi says, Doresh Lameitim, Zeah Mar Ivatzmo, he fasts, Olech Volayim Bebet HaKvarot, he goes and sleeps in the cemetery, Kedesh Tishra Lav Ruach Tuma. So that the Ruach Tuma, you'll get the Shadim to come, or it'll reach him. Rabbi Akiva Magil HaMikvazeh, Yabucha, Rabbi Akiva used to reach this Pasuk, he used to cry, Yomah Mar Ivatzmo, Kedesh Tishra Lav Ruach Tuma. Someone who starves himself in order to get this Ruach Tuma, Shorel Lav Ruach Tuma, it works! Someone who starves himself in order to have ruach tarach at kama surely should work, because good is always better than bad. But why doesn't it work? That we have our sins have caused us to lose it. Your sins separate between you and God. I mean, our sins prevent us from reaching that ruach tarach, from getting close to God. Rabbi says, based on this, Ibot Sadiqe Boriyama. If Sadiqim prayed or davened so that they would be clear, or if they were clear of sin, right, then the Baru Alma, they could create worlds. Shinemar, ki abanotechem ayum avdilim. Your sins separate, but if you don't have the sins, then there is no separation and you can be Bari Alma. Rava Bora Gavra. Rava made a golem. He created a person. So Vishadri the Kamei to Rabbi Zera, he sent him over to Rabbi Zera. Have a Kamishtaiba day. Rabbi Zera is talking to him. Lo Avakam Adarle, he couldn't speak back to him. You're clearly from the creations of the Chaverim of the Talmud Chachamim, who were created through Sefer Yetzirah. Hadar le'afrech, go back to your dirt. You know, he basically disintegrated on the spot and turned into dirt again. Right, so it seems to be that these gavros, or these people that can create, are simply people you can give instructions to. They don't speak, they don't do anything. They're simply messengers that can carry out the instructions of their master, which is this type of a golem. It's not a thinking, right, active person. It's just a messenger, or some sort of shliach of the master. So Gemara continues. Rav Chanina, Rav Oshia, Rav Yatve, Kol Malei Shabto. Every Erev Shabbos, they used to sit baskei b'Sefer Yetzirah. They used to learn Sefer Yetzirah. Umivru lohu iglo tilta. They used to make for themselves a iglo tilta. Different explanation of what an iglo tilta is. Rashi brings over Shas both of the explanations. Either the shlishi the betin, the third one born, or it's reached a third of its maturity. But it happens to be the best meat according to this. V'achli lei, and they used to eat it for Shabbos. They used to create every Erev Shabbos. They have their Shabbos meal made. Terabanan. Me'onein. What's a me'onein? Shimon Amer, Zam Mavir Shiv Aminei Zachor La'ayin. This is someone who wipes seven different forms of semen from different animals on his eyes, and then he gets some sort of kishuf. Chemim Zeh Ochezet Anayim. This is an illusionist. Someone who is Ochez Anayim. Give Amer, Zam Mechashev Yitim Shaot. No, me'onein comes from the word ona. Ona means a time. He says that these times are auspicious, right? Or that. This is a propitious time to do something. Today's a good day to travel. Tomorrow's a good day to buy. We have a suspicion, or we have a resora that Erev Shvius is a good time to plant wheat. If you pull out the legumes, you don't harvest them, but you pull the whole plant out, that stops them from rotting. So all these types of we call them silly ideas that are based on, you know, times and things like that. That these are propitious times to do things. That's called me'onein. Tarnabanan minachesh. What's minachesh? Zeomer pito naflami piv, maklo naflami ado. Basically superstitions. His staff fell out of his hand. His bread fell out of his mouth. But no korelo me'acharav. His son calls him from behind him. Orev korelo. A raven's calling him. Tzviv siko baderech. Right, the deer crossed him on his path, the equivalent of the black cat crossing someone's path. Nachash mimino, shual mismalo, he has a snake on his right side, he has a fox on his left side, that's a bad sign. Right, all of these things are superstitions. Right, al titchal bi shacharit. Don't start with me. They're coming to collect taxes. He says, don't start with me, it's a bad sign to be first. Shacharit hu. Don't come and collect your loans from me in the morning. I don't want to start the day on a bad foot. Rosh Chodesh, I don't want to start the month on a bad note. So don't come to me on Rosh Chodesh. Right? Motzei Shabbos, I don't want to start the week on a bad foot. So don't come and ask me on Motzei Shabbos. So all these are nichush because they're basically saying that he's superstitious about things that are happening at these time periods. Tera banan lo tenachashu velo te'onenu. Right? Kagon elo am nachashim bechulda belfot ubedogim. What is nachashim? Those that deal with the animals. Right? These different animals. Right, which is or bekuchavim is the last other gear says chuldah ufotu kuchavim. But again, this idea that they're looking at these things or these items to check if it's worthwhile to go today. They use animals or the stars to determine, is today a good day to go? Is it today the right time today? What's going to happen to me? So all of these are superstitions and are not appropriate, and they're violations of lo tenachashu. Okay, we'll stop here.